Blog Talk Radio.
Inner Sight Live around the world. And welcome, everybody. Before we get started, I want to apologize for the last couple of nights. Circumstances beyond our control. That's why we didn't have a show on. But we're here tonight, and we're working on doing things to make sure that that doesn't happen anymore. Okay? I get the idea for shows in different ways, you know. And I got the idea for this program because I got an email from the somebody who evidently knows about the show or listens to it about attending an abilities expo, you know, with all the technology and all that stuff that's available, you know. So I was thinking about that, and I said to myself, well, that's nice. You know, you go to these expos, and they got all these gadgets and different variable helping aids and all that, and then comes the red tape and the hassle to try to get them, you know, to me. What good is ability without enforcement, you know? Now, I'll give you a simple idea. These accessible pedestrian signals, they finally put one up here on my corner where I live, a big highway crossing. Took them 4 years, you know, to put the damn thing up. And come to realize that it's a separate light fixture. I was talking to my lawyer about this today, and he agrees it's a fixture that isn't attached to the regular walk signal, traffic light. So that means that if that light malfunctions or goes out, it's got nothing to do with the regular light. In other words, they're singling us out and putting us on a different level, see, instead of having one light that's for everybody. Because if you have one light and the damn thing goes out, they know, and people know, that they're going to have to be out there and make sure it works. The way it is now, if the accessible light goes out, you got to call them and bug them and badger them and all kinds of crap, and they come out there when they feel like it. We are not being treated equal. I'm telling you, there's an example. There's the ability to read the light, and they put it like they're doing us a favor, you know. We're freaks. We need something different. Instead of hooking it up the same way and giving us the same protection that anybody else would have. And that's what this show is about, you know. Especially tonight with this abilities expert, abilities expose that occurred. I don't know, they have one every year or whatever it is. And when we come back, take a little break, I want to talk about the difficulty that people face, especially for those of us who don't have enough funding, in getting these gadgets and technological help that's available. All right, Inner Sight, brought to you by the Big East Takeda Rescue. Tom's River, New Jersey, and once again, thank you so much for the food from the Big East, for my Akita guide dog. Greatly, greatly appreciate that. And always caring and loving Joanne Diamond, the Akita lady, South Jersey. Thank you. All the beautiful children of the world. Corey Foster, Avanti Oquendo, Little Tommy, Baby Royalty, Ollie Campbell. Take care of them. Watch over them. Go an extra mile for a child. Incidentally, under the Big East Akita Rescue, let me give you the email. BigEastAkitaRescue.org at Verizon.org. BigEastAkitaRescue@Verizon.org. All right, and their phone number is 609-388-7004. And I came up with an idea to use my guide dog to help raise money for the rest of the Akitas. I hope that maybe Joanne likes that idea, because I think it would make a great news story. Here's a guide dog helping her fellow brother and sister Akitas, you know. Big East, Akita Rescue at Verizon.org. Email. All right, you want to buy a house, sell a house, get some good info? Call Mr. Kennedy, 631-888-1186. And he's got some good info. He'll give you some good information on what's going on with the home sales. You hear a lot about it in the news. Well, here's a guy who's on the front line, so you want to hear what he has to say. Kennedy Realty, Islip, New York. Thank him for all his help. I want to thank Silo, Suffolk Independent Living Organization, for their help. Suffolk Bus Corp, we thank them. And all who believe in Inner Sight. It's not just if you can make a donation. It's more than that. It's the belief that this system has to change and improve. All right. Inner Sight means freedom. Advocates for the Disabled. 631-224-3090 is the Inner Sight number. We're going to try to make a phone call. Anthony, if you're listening, I'd like to try to call you and get you on the line and get you to be part of this show. So give me a little bit, and we'll try to make that call if you're on the air listening. Stand by. Inner Sight, you need dog food, cat food, medical for your animal? Call Nobody Starved on Long Island. And my buddy Gary, 631-484-3085 on the phone number. If you're disabled and you have a hard time getting the food, let him know. He may be able to bring it to you. So give Gary a call. 631-484-3085. Incidentally, tomorrow night is the Funnies here on Inner Sight. So we'll have a lot of fun tomorrow night. Try to get a Louie on the air. I know he called in last night on the Inner Sight line. So, Louie, we apologize that we were off the air for a couple of nights. Inner Sight and around the world. And don't forget about Able News, the paper on and about the disabled, where disabled people get priority, columns by various experts, calendar of events. They got a personals column. And all the news pertaining to the disabled So check in with Able News once a month. You'll find our ad in there about the show. Inner Sight and Able News together. And we thank them for giving us and doing that exchange with us. Go online, ablenews.com, and get a free subscription. Angela Melanie, the managing chief and editor of Able News. Okay, let's see, what else? I don't want to leave anyone out. James Bahamonde is a civil rights lawyer. 516-783-9662, Bahamonde. You need any information on civil rights, any advice, give him a call. You don't have to pay him. So, Bahamonde, James, 516-783-9662, right here on Inner Sight. Yes, and talking tonight about the abilities exposés, you know, the demonstration of all these technological devices and all that. But now, how many people can afford to purchase these things? They're very expensive, most of them. You know, especially when you get into the computers and the laptops and all that kind of thing, you know. And then trying to deal with these agencies that are supposed to be there to help you, you know, their first priority is making sure they get their money, you see. Now, I'm of the belief that every disabled person, if there's something available that's going to help you, the only criteria for that should be that you're disabled and you need that particular device, or you should have it, you know, to enhance your life or whatever, and help you get a job or whatever. Every disabled person, every agency should make sure that that person has whatever they need. If the person doesn't want it, that's their choice. But it should be there. And there should be no criteria of finances and all that. You know, if you have enough money or you make, you know, what your income is and all that, and criteria of you don't have a job or whatever it is, all that should be gotten rid of. The only criteria should be that a person is disabled and they're not using the equipment for criminal purposes. That's the only thing, and how the law should be. So, yeah, what good is mobility or ability without enforcement? All right. That's the statement tonight here on Inner Sight, and I want to try to get a friend of ours on the line who may want to join in, Anthony from Brooklyn. So stand by. I'm going to see if I can dial him in on the Inner Sight. I don't have a co-host, so you're gonna get silence for a few minutes. Stand by. Station break. Inner Sight, and we're gonna have to try to dial that again because we dialed wrong. Stand by. Inner Sight live, and let's try to dial that number again. Get Anthony on the line. Stand by, please. Inner Sight live around the world. Anthony from Brooklyn, are you there?
Yes, I am. Hi, everybody.
Yeah, thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, you're welcome.
And we're talking. we're talking tonight about how ability is not much good without enforcement, you know.
Yeah, it isn't, because, you know, if you look at the world around us, I mean, you know, they have to create the world in a way that, you know, it's accessible for everyone to be able to get around to, you know, use the curb cuts. I mean, I've talked about this before in the past, about the curb cuts and how you have them and then all of a sudden you don't, because there's some construction going on and then they break them and they're never put back. So you as a disabled person can't use that curb cut to get down. And if you're disabled, you rely on someone to help you because you would have to be pushed over it and they would have to maneuver and handle it. And you can't. So there goes your independence. Just
well,
like
I
that.
I never realized that was happening. You see, you just enlightened me and educated me. You mean to tell me they can destroy the curb cut and there's no enforcement to make them repair that?
Yes, exactly. They destroy it and
wow.
No one says anything and, you know, no one ever bothers to come back and fix it. I've seen curb cuts that are broken and then they stay like that for I can't tell you how long. And, you know, it depends on a disabled person to call the city and report it. Otherwise, you know, everyone else is not going to care. They're not going to think about that because it doesn't affect them. I was really into tonight's topic, but I had to hang up momentarily. And,
yeah.
You know, I'm glad that you invited me to the show tonight.
But even if you call the city and the authorities, you know, how long does it take for them to respond to that and to fix it? You know?
They give them an outrageous amount of time, you know, to fix it, but it really doesn't take that long. If you call 311, they'll send somebody out within 3 or 4 days. But the only other thing that I don't agree with is that they are very, I don't know how to explain this, stringent about, you know, what sidewalks they would repave. And sometimes the sidewalks are very rough for you to get over, you know, when you're in a wheelchair. And it's very rocky and bumpy and broken and has, you know, potholes and everything in the middle of it. And it's like a big deal for the city to repave it, you know what I mean? And they do that every once in a while. And I guess, you know, to them it's like a big project and it's expensive. And I can only imagine, you know, what it's like when you live in a county or a small town, because, you know, they really count the pennies then, too. So they don't want to pay for that, you know, to be done. And
no, this is where we keep saying, and I've said it for many years, the agencies should be contributing to that, raising money for that, to put some of the money in along with the government.
Yeah, and if you think about it, the way that, you know, they run things about, you know, spending money very, very stringently and, you know, being very strict about how often they're going to do things. It's like somebody who owns a private house that's trying to, you know, scrape together money to fix what needs to be fixed. It's really no better. And to me, it's always like we're pushed aside and always last. You know
yeah.
what I mean? And, you know, what's important to us doesn't really affect everybody else. So, you know,
yeah.
as long as most people can get around, then, you know, they'll just leave it that way.
Anthony, now you're in a wheelchair. Tell people, how dangerous is it when you have to go over a curb and that wheelchair is wobbling or tipping? Or tell us about that.
Yeah, if that wheelchair tips over, you have to be very careful because you only have a few seconds, maybe about 2 seconds, to pick up your head, because if it hits the concrete hard enough, I mean, you could pass out. And then they have those anti-tippers on the back of the wheelchairs, which have two wheels on the back of it and just kind of drag along. And if you have someone that's pushing you, it's just kind of in their way because they always tend to hit their toe and foot on it. And, you know, it only really helps you, you know, if you're not going to around much and are afraid of tipping over. And I don't blame anybody who has it, but it's not really, you know, for someone who's active, I would say, or something that a lot of people are going to want to deal with, because it's just kind of there. And, you know, I feel like some of these things that they put on wheelchairs is kind of like the best you can do or the best they have, and maybe some of it isn't the best equipment. It's just the way it's made, the way they know how. Or
what would be a better way to construct that?
That I don't know. Maybe something that could be a little higher, you know, that would still, you know, like hit the ground when it tips over, when it tips backward, but they just kind of drag along. I mean, it's sort of like a metal pole or something. You know what I mean? And the wheelchair companies always want you to have them, and I don't blame them for their purpose. You know, and if you don't agree to take them, then they want you to sign a paper that they're not responsible if something happens to you while you're in the wheelchair. But, you know, a lot of the stuff, you know, these insurance companies have really come down on us hard with, because they don't want to pay for stuff, and, you know, it's hard to get, and you wait a long time, and, you know, you go through a long process, and you sit in a wheelchair that's falling apart, you know, or that you're afraid is going
to... They want you to stay home and stay out of the way.
Yeah, collapse when you are sitting in it, and, you know, they'll give you a standard wheelchair that, you know, you are so uncomfortable in, and I don't, you know, it's just unbearable for you to use, so you really won't go anywhere unless you absolutely need to, because, you know, it's just too uncomfortable for you to bear. And so, you know, you're not living a regular life because you don't have the freedom everyone else does, because you're not comfortable and you can't, you know, live a fully enjoyable life like that.
What kind of equipment, let's talk about you as a disabled person, what kind of equipment do you need to better your life now, right now, that you can't get?
Right now, I really don't need anything. I have my wheelchair, but eventually I know that's going to need to be, you know, replaced. I mean, it's fine for now because I don't really use it on a constant basis like someone that goes to a program and things like that, you know. But there's people that, you know, need walkers and, you know, a lot of, you know, like the pommel on the wheelchair and, you know, things like that. I mean, there's people that need trays. You know,
yeah, I was thinking more in terms of technology, you know, computer, laptops, and so on.
Oh, yeah. Technology, I really don't use. I mean, I have my house phone, and that's about it, you know, because they don't pay for any of that. And you know, most disabled people, you know, if they have a cell phone, they pay for it on their own because, you know, the one that the government issues people doesn't give you a lot of minutes. And
well, they improved that. My brother recently got one, wants to get me one. Unlimited minutes, you know.
Well, that's great, you know, for a person that is not disabled. But what if you are disabled? They only give you a standard phone. I mean, maybe you can buy, you know, a phone that is, you know, blind or disabled friendly and use it. But those are very expensive and, you know, few and far between. I know Sprint used to make a good one, but I never hear about, you know, many other cell phones anymore.
What do you think about the criteria person who needs equipment and, you know, is being forced out of it because they don't meet the criteria? What do you think should be done with that?
That would be so difficult to change. I mean, I think it would be good. It would be nice. But, you know, it would be so difficult to change because that would have to be done on an agency-by-agency basis.
Yeah.
For example, the agencies for the blind, they really don't do much with you unless you are the kind of person who's going to school. Then they'll give you a brailler and some other stuff. But, you know, if they don't think that you are succeeding and, you know, are college material or are going to reach your goal, you know, of whatever it is that you want to do, they're not going to pay for you to go to college, and they'll brush you off and not call you back and try to, you know, encourage you to go in a different direction. And, you know, not all, you know, disabled or blind people are able to work. You know, maybe they have other disabilities, you know, intellectual disabilities, whatever. And, you know, they're going to have limits on their life based on that, because they can't, you know, do what these agencies want them to do. And once you're not able to, then, you know, they will push you aside. And maybe, you know, if you're a young person, they'll give you, like, a CD player or something just to, you know, like, to make you feel good. That
well, they don't take the approach, you know, what can we do to help you, you know? What do you
yeah.
need? What can we get you? You know, in other words, and you know, they could use that approach to raise money.
Yeah.
And a lot of the stuff they could get donated anyway.
Yeah, but they have no intention on ever raising money, and they don't get donations of anything. Everything that they accept, they said, has to come from the government. Like, you know, they're given a budget, and they have to buy off of that budget, you know, whatever a blind person needs if they're going to intake them as a client. And I, you know.
As a result, they buy cheap stuff that breaks down often, and, you know, it's no good.
Yeah, I know that they need clients, and, you know, nobody wants to get laid off and all that. So, you know, that's all they do is just intake cases and keep you hanging around and, you know, have you, you know, call them and tell you things that make you feel good about, you know, what they're going to do for you and promise you things, and then not call you back so often or not at all, and just kind of have your name on their records and, you know, buy you a brailler and whatever they typically buy for most blind people, and then, you know, send you on your way. You know, blind people, I would think, are going to, you know, get a standard Perkins brailler, and that's what, you know, the good ones are, and that's what a lot of people like. But if it's going to be something that's, you know, technologically advanced that they have to pay a lot of money for, then you would have to be a student that's going to go to college, and, you know, they, you know, have to see you heading down a successful path in their view in order for them to want to, you know, deal with you that much and interact and help you.
They ought to change that criteria. I don't like the fact that they're, you know, prejudiced against many, many people, as you said a minute ago, who can't work, you know,
yeah,
who are disabled.
Yeah, I mean, there's other agencies for the blind that have music programs and other things. I mean, if you look at the independent living centers for the disabled, they, you know, have, you know, jobs for them to do there that you get paid. I mean, it's not, you know, like a regular job that maybe somebody who wasn't disabled might do, you know, if you have a intellectual disability or something, or maybe it might be, you know, filing or something in an office the same way you would in an office that's not, you know, that's a place for the disabled. But, yeah.
Have you ever been to one of these ability experts, not experts, but demonstrations?
Yeah, and I've heard about it too, and, you know, it's, how would I explain this? You have to have you have to be a person that's mesmerized by things and fascinated and drawn in you know, a traveling mind. It's really something to me that's kind of over exaggerated and, you know, a big excitement, you know, over nothing. And, you know, a bunch of technology that most people wouldn't use, and you're not going to buy unless you have a lot of money and you don't want.
Yeah, yeah. So it's not like you go in there and the agency's there and they, you know, they have a big sign up there. We're making a gift today to everyone who needs a laptop or whatever it may be, you know.
No,
it's
they
free
don't
of charge.
Do,
they don't do that at these places.
They don't do any of that. You
no.
you know, buy everything on your
they
own.
They should.
Or you yeah, you just go for the human, you know, fascination to say, oh wow, I was there and this and that. But, you know, let's face it, I mean, if you really wanted something, you know, how long would you have to wait for it? And maybe it wouldn't matter to some people if you didn't absolutely have to have it. But how many years later is somebody going to think about the same thing, you know, to say, oh, well, I have to have that, you know, particular piece of technology that I saw 5 years ago and I saved up, you know, X amount of dollars to do it. I mean,
yeah.
Let's face it. Look, you know, at the employment rates of people with disabilities and how much money they live off of. How many people are actually ever really going to be able to buy that unless somebody, you know, dies and leaves them money or something like that? I mean, what's your chance of actually
getting
that?
You know, it's really ironic that all the people who are disabled who go to these fairs, you know, whatever you want to call it, are being used by these agencies to get all this money and technology and equipment. And yet they won't give you a damn thing.
No,
you know?
They won't. They absolutely won't. And, you know, they just fill out forms, you know, for whatever their agency allows and, you know, whatever they know you're going to be approved for and, you know, you're only going to get limited stuff and they give you all the typical stuff and stuff that, you know, has been around for years that's nothing new to the blind community. And most people are just happy to get a Braille, you know, and, you know, if it's broken and you can't afford to fix it on your own, you're out of luck because, you know, the Commission for the Blind won't have anything to do for with you after so many years. You know, if you're 56 something years old, I mean, most people deal with the Commission for the Blind, like I said, in their 20s or, you know, maybe even in your teens. You know, they try to encourage you to go to college and become a social worker and this and that. And, you know, once they close your case, that's the end of it. And you'll never have that, you know, type of connection to get those type of things again, and, you know, you buy it on your own and get it repaired on your own, and then that's it, you know, and you'll look at
yeah,
that
years
way.
Ago when I was in my 20s, I wanted to be a recording artist, you know, and at the time, I became very good friends with Stevie Wonder, and his publicist really believed in my talent, you know. And we went to the Commission for the Blind. He had a whole proposal. I think at the time it was only about $20,000-$25,000 to get started. You know, he spelled out the whole thing, the whole plan, you know. And they wouldn't do a damn thing for me. You know what they said? Oh, music is not a good profession for blind people.
Yeah.
How do you like that?
Their caseworkers go to these training courses, you know, where they explain to them these are the type of jobs that we expect, you know, blind people to be able to take that we think that they're going to function well with. And, you know, if they don't agree to take that, then, you know, we basically end the deal with them and tell them that, you know, we don't see that as a viable career for them. And, you know, we encourage them to go look for something else. And if they don't agree, you know, then basically they'll, you know, encourage you to go to another agency and let you go, and that's it.
I quoted three names to them: Ray Charles, Stevie Wonder, and Jose Feliciano.
Yeah,
you know?
and they'll tell you, oh, that's one out of so many million, and it's very rare, and, you know, it's hard to get a job, and you have to take a job that, you know, that we know that, and you think that you could be successful in, and if you're not, then, you know, we don't see this as a viable working relationship, and, you know, we're not going to you know, work with you anymore on that level and keep your case open. If you'd like to, you know, keep your case open, it would have to be, like, they're in the process of getting you a brailler or something, and once that's over, that's the end of it. You know what
I
mean?
At the time, I made a mistake of not demanding a fair hearing, but anybody going through stuff with the Commission of Vested or any one of those state agencies, demand a hearing, and not only demand a hearing, publicize it. You know?
I really don't feel that they care much about, you know, the fair hearings. It's just there, and most people are not going to win. And unless you are, you know, really lucky and you are able to connect with someone who's powerful in the agency that, you know, is over everyone else, you know, that you know, they want to appease and do what she says and jump as high as she says to jump and, you know, kiss up to her, as I always say, then, you know, you are kind of out of luck because, you know, most of the fair hearings are just typical and just kind of to, you know, coddle you and will never really get you anywhere, and that's kind of the way it is. And if you press the caseworkers too much and they get aggravated, and especially, you know, you press
why is it, Anthony, that the politicians don't make sure that their disabled constituents and others get what they need by way of equipment to improve their lives? Why is it?
Because I believe that, you know, they think in their mind that, you know, what blind people have and disabled people have is sufficient. And remember that if they add anything extra to what we get, you know, then it would cost the government more money, and it would cause these agencies to balloon even more, and they don't want to pay for it because it's not, I mean, this might be controversial, but our success is not really as crucial to the, you know, the world as far as social service agencies go, because they figure, you know, if you don't succeed, then you'll just live off of SSI and you're, you know, disabled or blind anyway. So if it didn't work out, then it wasn't going to work out regardless anyway. And if they have to pay a lot of money, you know, more than they want to, then it's not worth it for them, you know, because they're not going to do it for everybody. And, you know, they'll never know how successful you were going to be anyway, and they don't care about you because they don't know you and you're not their family and whatever will be. And that's kind of the way it is, you know what I mean?
I'd like to see these agencies get together and create a telethon specifically to get equipment, you know, that you see at many of these ability expos, equipment for people who need it. And not worry about stupid-ass criteria.
Yeah.
That's what I'd like to see.
It's all criteria to limit it, because if they don't, then people will say, oh, you know, you're giving out stuff to too many people, and it's costing too much money, and it has to stop. And, you know, if you don't stop, then, you know, we'll cut the funding, and you know, they're afraid that it might cause them to want to lay off workers and, you know, let's, you know, reevaluate the whole thing and you'll have a lot smaller of an agency. And that's kind of the way it is. You know, the government puts a certain amount of money into every agency, and this is for this and that's for that. And if you are going overboard, then you spend too much money and they'll get rid of you too.
Yeah, that's why I believe the agencies should be mandated to raise money for all these things, but for the disabled people in their community, you know, constituents.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
but it's the way the government has it structured, that because it's a government agency, they're not allowed to
get
money from anybody.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
Like you take the independent living centers. Let's take the one right here in Suffolk County. You know, they're not allowed to raise money to help people. I'll give you an example. They can't help a blind person, for instance, to raise money for the medical, for their guide dog, if the big hospital doesn't recognize that dog because the agencies didn't train it. The independent living center, they can't raise money for that person to give them their guide dog's medical.
Yeah, the most they would tell you to do is, in a polite way, not to have a guide dog, have an aide.
Yeah, and, right.
You know,
not to have your eyes.
Yeah, the way they want it, you know what I mean? Because they know that they're not going to be able to help you pay for anything for your guide dog. So if, you know, you're going to have a guide dog, you're going to be on your own with the expenses of it because they have nothing to do with it, you know?
Yeah.
So,
and there's no law to make them do something about it.
Yeah, and disabled.
That makes it worse.
Right, and disabled people live off of fixed incomes, and you know they're forced to live within the circumstances that they have to, because if you can't afford it, you can't afford it. Nothing you can do about it. You know what I mean?
What do you think about that? Somebody told me about a robot wheelchair. Have you had any experience or heard about that?
No. I think that was a wheelchair that climbs stairs. It's a power chair that climbs stairs. But
yeah,
it's extremely, extremely, extremely expensive, and nothing that, you know,
really,
any insurances would ever pay for until the day we died, and that's that. You know what I mean? You would have to be an extremely wealthy person to afford it.
Oh.
And
so they're targeting disabled people that have plenty of money.
Yeah, that's all it is, you know.
Not the average person.
No. When you're rich, you know, you could buy whatever you want, and that's one of the things you could buy. And if you can't afford it, you know, you're never going to see it in your home, and that's that. Certain things are just not for us to have, unfortunately, because of our circumstances, and we, you know, have to accept that because.
What should the law say if all this technology stuff is available, and there's no accessibility or no enforcement? What should the enforcement of the law be? In your opinion?
I think we would do a lot better if, you know, they evaluated it on a case-by-case basis. To look at the, you know, individual person's case and say, well, this person would really benefit from this piece of equipment, but even though we don't normally pay for it, we're going to pay for it. This person, because they really need it and it's extraordinary, but they don't do that. They have a general list of what they pay for, and that's that. Same thing with a hospital bed, or a person is bedbound. They don't pay the most expensive, best quality bed. They pay for, you know, whatever they can afford, and they have certain companies that they deal with, and standard wheelchairs, standard hospital beds. I mean, the wheelchair is not really standard because it's custom. The hospital beds are standard, and the cheapest companies, and they don't last because they're constantly used. And before you know it, you know, you press the button here, and you know, it doesn't want to go up or go down. The disabled person uncomfortable, but that's the way it is. You know, the mattress is very thin, and it wears out very quickly, and the person moves around on it a lot, you know, day after day. You know, being in bed and can't get out, and, you know, that's kind of the way it is. As long as you have a bed, they don't really change it and use it until you die or until it's completely dead. That's
yeah. You know. Anthony, I want to thank you so much for coming on the show tonight.
You're welcome, Frank. Always a pleasure.
And we look forward to hearing you, you know, many, many more times.
Look forward to being on.
Tomorrow night, the funnies.
Look forward to that as well.
So, you know, it's that might be our most popular night. I don't know.
I think it is. Yes. Do you want to give us a sneak peek of what the comedy bits are going to be tomorrow night?
Well, we're going to have Louis will be here, of course, as long as we can get the engineer in here.
Mm-hmm.
Or even if we can't, I can get Louis on this line.
Right, yeah.
And we're going to have a school chum, Jimmy Dinnigan, who's always in trouble, you know, trying to get some medicine from Mr. Kramer, the principal.
Can't imagine what kind of medicine.
I'll never forget that day, you know. And he went down to Mr. Kramer, and he says he needs medicine. Anyway, we'll tell you about that. And let's see. The philosopher will be here. You know, going to talk about all the crookedness of this country.
It might be Pepto Bismol. Who knows?
The what?
It might be Pepto Bismol. Who knows?
That's right.
Find out what kind of medication tomorrow night.
Might be.
Here would be square, make sure you do
so that. That's a little sneak preview, and then we'll probably have a honeymooner skit of Norton with the time when he had to get a present for the foreman down the sewer.
Oh boy. What a night.
All right, that's tomorrow night. Listen, Anthony, we're gonna continue, but thank you so much.
Okay, no problem, Frank. Thanks. Take care. Have a great night, everybody.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye. All right. Inner Sight. And, you know, you have all this technology. I remember, I don't know, a couple of years ago, this guy went to Washington who wants to make everything digital, which to me is ridiculous, you know. And the government, as far as I know and as far as I was told, didn't like his idea, you know. So, you know, I've always said it and I still say it. Every sign, every window, every address should be made so that everybody can read it, you know, and you shouldn't have to depend on a gadget that you have to carry with you, because a lot of people, because of criteria or financing, cannot get those gadgets, technological devices, you know. So it should be there. If you want to use a gadget, fine. I'm not against that. But the accessibility should be there. Now today I got a new cell phone. My phone broke, and this one company, I'm not going to mention their name because they're not paying us. One company has a button on their phone. An emergency alert where they can call 911 and let them know where you are and all that stuff. You know, now some people like that, some people want it. I respect that, you know. But I don't. And I'm going to tell you why. Because what's the point? I mean, I can simply dial 911 on my phone without a special button. You know, but what's the point of that, having that special button? Let's say I'm at a restaurant, you know, or a building, and they don't want to let me in because they're offended by my dog or whatever you want to call it, you know, and I push this button, and the police, if you're lucky, they arrive. See, a lot of times they don't come because they have no jurisdiction, and they know that. You know, what's the point of having to pay? And you had to pay for this extra feature, you know. What's the point of having to pay for a 911 emergency button when it's no good when you're in a wheelchair and you can't get into a place where you have a guide dog or whatever it may be, and the police don't protect you? Why should I have to pay for that? You know, I mean, it's absurd, but it shows you what they think of us. They want you to pay for a button that dials 911, and you know, you're in a situation. The cops are not going to come and issue a summons. Or tell this person, we'll have to arrest you if you don't allow this blind person in with their dog or whatever. Or, you know, you have 30 days to fix this, these steps so this person can get in here with this wheelchair. You got to answer to the judge and all that. They're not going to do that. They're not protecting us. They're protecting the average person, yeah. But not us. So there you have it. A piece of technology, you know, that many people pay for. And yet if you're disabled and you access that, where do you get help? Oh, you may occasionally get a nice cop who will say, look, you know, you can't do this, blah, blah, blah. But there's really no enforcement. There's no pressure that the police officer can bring on this person. You know, it has to go to court. It has to be a big drawn-out thing, a big human rights thing, like what happened with me and my friend trying to get on a scat bus, not a scat bus, but accessor ride, to try to help a blind person in a nursing home. They wouldn't let me on. We called the cops. They didn't even show up. So there's an example of what we're talking about. You have to pay for something, and yet you don't get the same services and the same help that the next person gets. We ought to have strict enforcement along with every one of these gadgets of technology that is there for people. You know, ability is no good without enforcement. It really isn't. And we call upon the legislators to change that, you know, to give us that enforcement and bring us in under the umbrella of equality that everybody else has. You know? And that's what Inner Sight is calling for. Again, we apologize. We were off the air the last couple of nights due to circumstances beyond our control. We missed our nursing home show last night. We'll have it on next week. Monday night is Mad or Glad. Tuesday, open mic. Wednesday is the nursing home show here on Inner Sight. And Thursday, we usually pick different subjects like we are tonight. Ability is no good without enforcement. You could have all the greatest technologies in the world. If you're in a wheelchair and you can't get into a place, what good is it? You've got to have enforcement in any society. Now look at the countries that have no enforcement. What do they have? Turmoil. So there you have it. Inner Sight, I'm not against technology. People like it. People want it. I'm not crazy about it. I don't even have a computer. I don't want one. But get that enforcement. You know, let the politicians step up and make sure that these technological devices are going to be of value to us, because now we have enforcement along with it. All right, we'll be with you tomorrow night on the Frolics. Tomorrow night, Inner Sight. Have a lot of fun over here. And I want to thank our listeners. We're 115,000, almost 115,000. I don't know the exact total, but we'll get it for you maybe tomorrow night. Don't forget to sign our petition, the Nursing Home One. Turn the nursing homes into accessible housing. Change.org and the service dog. How many moms will have to spend Mother's Day in a nursing home? Horrible place to spend Mother's Day. And how many moms will be denied a guide dog this weekend? Government won't do a thing about that. We need more protection. We need the same protection everybody else has. That's the key. That's the way to look at it. That should be the attitude of the politicians, to protect everyone in an equal way. Thank you for listening. Inner Sight means freedom. Advocates for the disabled. Our Inner Sight phone number, 631-224-3090. And thank you so much. Be with you tomorrow night on the Funnies. I want to thank all our friends for keeping the show on the air. We greatly appreciate it. Inner Sight around the world. Goodbye, world. Inner Sight. Good night, everybody. Inner Sight.